Let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah, let's go, guys.
Absolutely. When we start here, let's start with this first question. When is the economy going to recover? And we've got some information we want to share here, just around starting out with what major financial institutions are calling for in the second half recovery. And so when you see this slide, we've got four major financial institutions here: Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo, in their projections for the second quarter of this year through the end of the year. And what we know right now is the first quarter has come in this initial advanced estimate of GDP constricting or being negative 4.8. And then this wild ride down here in the second quarter, even now as we start to talk about businesses coming online, still a lot of economic activity slowed across the country. And then as we turn the corner to the second half of the year, in the third quarter, three of the four institutions are calling for positive economic recovery. And then in the fourth quarter, four out of four of the financial institutions are calling for, you know, positive economic recovery as we go forward, as we start to come back online with businesses. So as we start to look to the second half of the year, we're looking to more businesses, more things coming online, and more economic activity and growth there. What makes it unique right now, though, are the three sciences that economists have to deal with right now. And the first here is the business science, and that's what they're normally used to doing, and that's answering the question, how has the economy rebounded from a similar slowdown in the past? You know, taking a situation and saying, okay, how has this performed in the past? And being able to answer that question. Well, we're in a unique time right now where we've got to layer on two additional sciences, the first being the health science. And that's answering the question, when will COVID-19 be under control? And will there be a flare-up of the virus this fall? And taking that into account as they're making projections. The third part is the people science. And that's after businesses are fully operational. How long will it take for American consumers to return to normal consumption patterns, going out to a movie, maybe attending a sporting event, eating in restaurants, things like that, flying, getting in an airplane? And so while we deal with a situation that you know, is the coronavirus, economists are dealing with answering a lot of questions on these projections. But what we can be confident in is no one is calling for an L recovery. We've heard the terms U and V. But an L recovery is when the economy goes down and it stays down, and this is not what we want. And the good news is no one is calling for that. And so when you look at what's being said out in the media, and experts are saying is, hey, we're going down right now. First quarter was negative, this wild ride down. And then as we look to the future, the second half of the year, we see more economic activity as we bring the economy or businesses back online. And I want to bring in a quote in from Sam Cater from Freddie Mac, the chief economist there. And he says, although the uncertainty of the crisis means forecasts of economic activity are more unclear than usual, what we just talked about, we expect that most of the economic damage from the virus will be contained to the first half of this year. And going forward, we should see a recovery starting in the second half of the year. So uncertainty around all the things that economists are dealing with right now, but we can look at and be hopeful that the damage is largely contained in the first half of the year. We're going to continue to talk about that. I want to go next to a CNBC quote that says, evidence is mounting that home buyers may be coming back to the market, and after demand plummeted in the past month due to the coronavirus. So starting to see the evidence of home buyers coming back after we just saw this fall off in demand. And it really comes up to, what do we know and what do we not know right now? Well, we know there are a lot of questions about the virus. There's a question about a vaccine. There's this idea of how do we thread the needle and open up the economy, doing it in a safe way and bringing things back online. So there are a lot of things that are unknowns right now, but what do we know? We know that we started this year stronger than ever. We're in a record low interest rate environment. Equity is strong among homeowners. We're in a high unemployment time right now, hopefully temporarily. and we know the Fed is doing everything they can to support the economy. And I think as we look to the second half, you know, housing being a bright spot to help lead the way in recovery. So let's talk about that for a minute. This graph shows showings across North America coming from showing time. And what you see there is we started off the year and we're trending up, and then the beginning of March just fell off a cliff as consumers retreated, all of us retreated to our homes out of fear of contracting the coronavirus. But you see this bottoming out across North America in, you know, I'll call it the middle of April there, and this rise back up. And certainly some of that is going to be due to pent-up demand as people, you know, retreated, as I said, for several weeks. I don't know that trend continues up at such a steep pace, but it's safe to say that we've seen a bottom right there in the showings. And so pointing to, okay, what can we expect here in the second half of the year? And even in that, some good news that we want to bring to you, that the U.S. home ownership rate is climbing. We expect that to climb. You know, after a bottom out the last 4 years, we've seen this upward trend of people going, you know what, more and more, I want to own a home. I want the benefits of home ownership. And so that's a trend that we expect and we'll be covering and expect to continue. And why is that happening? A lot of it is due to the rising cost of rent across this country. And in this graphic, when I see it, it explains it very well. And renters don't get the advantages of maybe a refinance, the tax advantages of home ownership, or the pride of ownership. And we know that through studies we've looked at, that renters are saying more and more, I want to become a homeowner. So, Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you to take us through the next portion.
All right. Thank you very much, David. In the next portion, we're going to talk a little bit more about home ownership. We're going to talk about one of the major advantages, and that's you building equity. So if we go to that first slide, I want everyone to understand that this slide is new. The 2020 equity numbers just came out. All right. So you have an old slide that talks about 37% of people owned it free and clear. Now that number has jumped up to 42.1% own their home free and clear. All right. The other thing that's pretty interesting, the amount of people that have equity over 60% is now at 16.6%. And you can follow it all the way around. If you get down to less than 10% equity, that's only 7.3% of homeowners in the country. If you think back at 2008, though, we don't have great numbers back there. They didn't keep those numbers, that data back then. But we know that a lot of people use their houses as ATMs, and we're really building up or lessening, I should say, the equity in their home. And then as soon as prices started to, you know, drift a little bit downward, they were running into negative equity, and that led into a lot of challenges. We have the exact opposite situation right now. As David likes to say, it seems that people learned their lesson from 10 years ago, and they're really, you know, positioning themselves differently in equity. Back then, they took equity out to buy jet skis, a new boat, a new car, go on lavish vacations. People still take equity out at a much smaller amount, obviously, by this graph. And they're doing things by, you know, helping their kids pay for college or starting a business. So we're back to the way it's supposed to be. Now, if we look at it overall, if you want to go into the next slide, we can see that that number jumped also a little bit. 58.7% of all homeowners now have at least 60% equity. And it's crucially important, ladies and gentlemen, that we let people know that there's that much equity in the homes right now for a whole bunch of different reasons. Number one is we have to let the public know that, because as I was saying, people are afraid that people are going to, we're going to run into this heavy foreclosure market again. Well, if people have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equity in their home, they're not walking from that house. They'll sell it first, if anything, and that'll be listings that we need. But again, 42.1% of all homes are owned free and clear. And of the other homes that have a mortgage on them, the average equity in those homes is $177,000. All right? So what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, in a big way, is we need to let people know this, get these slides out. Now, I want you to get rid of the old slides that we have been giving you up until this point, which was 2019 data. the 2020 data came out, and we're just giving it to you now. So please destroy the old slides in your presentation. Next thing I want to talk about, and you know, I cursed this company, you know, several years ago when I called it Keeping Current Matters. So Keeping Current Matters. So we want to talk about unemployment. I want to talk about the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out this morning at 8:30 with a report, and we wanted to give you some information on that. But before we go there, let's take a look at what's actually taking place with unemployment claims. Because David's team put together a great slide on this. Now, I'm not suggesting that the last number, 3.2 million, is a good number. I am not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is a lot better than a number than 6.9 million. So what winds up taking place is we can see we've hit the apex of people filing unemployment claims, and we're starting that downward slide now. And as David mentioned before, now that things are starting to open up again, you know, more and more people are going to get their jobs back. So it's going to be interesting as we proceed forward. But what we can see with this slide is the number of people that were being unemployed, that's going down week over week over week. Now, let's take a look at this morning's report. And the first thing I want to show you is this is a breakdown of percentage of all the people that are unemployed. What categories do they fall in? So of the 100% of people that are unemployed, how many in each one of these categories? Now, I will tell you that the report is broken down in, you know, economies, meaning that, you know, the language that economists use. I try to make it a little bit simpler to understand across the bottom. So those actual categories across the bottom are the majority of what that category stood for. For example, the third one in, temporary services, that's actually listed under professional services. All right, but professional, and they add a little thing in there, but the vast majority of that is companies that offer temporary help, you know, temporary support. So there's some things in there, like if you go down to childcare, the childcare number is interesting because it actually talks about, you know, family services, but the vast majority of that are people that are in childcare. All right, so I made it so that people could understand it. I didn't use the going all the way toward the right. I didn't use the accommodation industry. I used the hotel industry. So I try to, as KCM does, try to make it easy for everyone to understand. Now that we know that disclaimer across the bottom, and if you want the actual titles of each one of those categories, then you can go to the report itself. But the servers and bartenders, if you remember last time, that was almost 60%. Well, now as more people got laid off since then, because the restaurants were one of the first things to close, we're still at 37.6%. More than one out of three people that are unemployed are bartenders or servers. So we know that that's the primarily, you know, a very high percentage of the unemployment rate. Now, as restaurants begin to open, even though they're opening with social distancing and other requirements, that number will come down, and that number will come down pretty dramatically. And for the people who don't think that restaurants are ever going to come back, because, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the out service right now, you know, the curbside service, a lot of restaurants are jumping into that business right now, and that's still going to require people either to package that or bring it to the curb, or some restaurants now are delivering in themselves so that the server gets a job delivering the packages right to the homeowner. But if we go through that, retail, temporary services, you'd have to take a look at what you think is going to come back right away. I will tell you, doctor offices, those are the employees and doctors and dentists that work in doctor's offices and dentist offices. Once this opens up, they're going to definitely be back because we need to go see our doctors and we need to go see our dentists. Arts and entertainment, maybe not as quickly. Childcare, we think, is going to open up. Construction, we think, is going to open up immediately. So you have that. Government, for the first time, government went down. It usually goes up. That will probably come back. That's a lot of local government situation there. That will probably come back also. So as we look at this, we can get a feel for, all right, it's a pretty high unemployment rate. It's 14.7%. But it's broken down into a lot of categories that we believe are going to, you know, come back pretty strongly. All right, so now let's go to the next slide. I also broke this down into three different, actually the team broke it down into three different categories that I think you should take a look at. First off, most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, is remember, if 14.7% of the population is unemployed, that means 85.3% are employed. So it's important we realize that. Sometimes we think that like everyone's lost their job. Well, let's calm down. No, not everyone lost their job. 85.3% of the country still has their job. The other thing is temporary versus permanent. 90% of the people surveyed, and that's what these numbers are, they survey people that applied for unemployment, 90% see it as a temporary layoff. They've been told that they're going to get their job back soon. So that's a really big number, much bigger than it would normally be an unemployment number. Usually it's permanent layoffs is the big thing, all right? 90% of the unemployment rate is temporary layoffs. And then down at the bottom, I thought this was just interesting, so I asked the team to put this together. Adult men at 13%, adult women at 15.5%, teenagers at 31.9%. So not only do the families have their kids home because there's no school, they can't even send them out to work, all right? So if you want to know why there's so many teenagers hanging around the house, that's the reason why. So if we take a look at these three different graphs, we get a little bit different or maybe a little bit better feel. But I want to warn you, there are people out there with agendas. There are people out there with political agendas. There are people out there that wrote a book that if the world crashes, these are the 10 things you do. Those people will have really serious damaging headlines going forward, all right? They'll be talking about things like, they'll be talking about Armageddon based on this report. When in actuality, if we take a look at the next graph, we could see that JP Morgan projected that it was gonna drop to 20%. I'm not sure if it's gonna go any higher than 14.7%, we'll know next month, but with a lot of the company opening up, a lot of the country opening up, I'm not sure it will. So the projections, it looks like the red graph there, the red line there is JP Morgan, who thought it was gonna drop to 15%. They look pretty smart right now, okay? But in each case, the jobs are coming back quickly, unlike the Great Recession of 2006 to 2016 and the Great Depression, which took years upon years upon years for the unemployment rate to come back. It's coming back much quicker. So when we look at it overall, a lot of pain right now, but not pain for a long period of time. And I think that's what we have to get out there to the public. All right, now, the biggest threat right now, ladies and gentlemen, and this seems a little weird me saying this because just a month ago, people were saying that the real estate business is over for this year. Not another house is going to sell. There were tremendous headlines talking about it, and KCM took a lot of heat because we were much more positive than those headlines. We thought that the real estate population was going to bring the real estate market back, and that was going to help bring the economy back. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's really what's taking place. As David explained before, you know, CNBC came out and they're looking at purchase money mortgages, people buying a house for the first time. That's skyrocketing and increasing every single week. All right, and he also showed you the showings, which is increasing every single week. A lot of the companies we do individual webinars for, they let us look at their pending sales, houses going into contract, and we're seeing them increasing every single week. So the market is definitely, the housing market is definitely hit bottom and coming back the other way. So what's our biggest threat? Pretty simple. Mark Fleming put it best when he said, housing supply remains at historically low levels, so house price growth is likely to slow, but it's not likely to go negative. So what we have is we don't have a challenge with pricing. What we do have is the fact that we have a historically low inventory. And because of that, supply and demand, buyers are still out there, not so much sellers. So we're not going to have a challenge with prices, but we have to get more listings. If we take a look at the next graph, what we can see is up in the upper left-hand corner is seller traffic last month. February, the April numbers are not out yet. So the most current numbers are March. So February, we started seeing seller traffic starting to increase. We start seeing a lot more states turning light blue and even two states turn dark blue, meaning that the realtors, this is on a realtor survey, in many states were saying, you know what, finally We're getting some listings on the market at the beginning of this year. Then March hit, the world stopped. And we could see, looking at the seller traffic on the upper right-hand side, we can see that the number of states where the agents are saying listing inventory is increasing dropped off dramatically. But if we look at the buyer side down at the bottom on the left-hand side, that was February. It was strong in so many states, almost every state. And it weakened some. If we go to the bottom right-hand corner, it definitely weakened some. But it didn't get to the point that, you know, there's any really weak markets. You know, they would be in gray, and that's not what took place. So we still have a very strong buyer demand, which I think is going to continue to increase. All right, we have to go get the listings. The single most important thing for us to do right now, not just for our own pocketbooks, not because we want signs up. The single most important thing for our neighbors, for our neighborhoods, for our region, and for the country's economic well-being is we got to go out and list houses. And then we have to sell them. I've often said that, you know, there are some agents, you know, waiting at home watching Tiger King, hoping that the cavalry is going to come. We are the cavalry, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to lead us out of this. We have to take that responsibility on personally. David, back to you, and you know how they can go ahead and actually do that, help do that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. And really answering that question after looking at those two maps and saying, what do we need to do right now? I want to start here with a quote from Google, and it says, this is a recent study from Google. It says, data tells us right now people are looking for two things, help and comfort. And if you're able to help them to navigate the current situation, tell them about that. Think like a caring human being with the resources to help millions, then act accordingly in the mutual interest of business and society. So how do we help? How do we comfort? My hope is that you use these slides, use this monthly market report to go out and bring help to people that have questions about how do I navigate this market? How do I buy a home? How do I sell a home and be of service to them? I'm going to give you four things you can do to do that. The first, make your message simple and effective. Steve talked about this in reviewing the unemployment report. There's a lot of data in the market right now that is very confusing, and our goal is to help you make that simple and effective. But I would challenge you, as you're communicating this, to make it simple and effective. Second, remain hyper current on all housing information, and that's exactly what you're doing today, bringing the latest information to the clients you serve. Third, mixing micro data or local data with your macro or US data. So we're gonna bring you all the US macro data, and my encouragement is talk about what's happening where you're at. What is going on? Share that information so that people are informed. And last, use videos on social media and Zoom meetings and communicating with your database, the people that you know and the people that you're in relationship with. Use all of this information and connect with them on video. Across the country, certainly more and more things are being brought back online. There are areas where they're not, and there are areas where there are. But using video today, I would argue the last 8 weeks has dramatically changed how we can use video in our business to communicate with that. And a lot of people will maybe prefer that, but we know we can communicate that way in a one-to-many strategy. So leverage that. And if you're not using these slides with your personal brand on them, I'm going to highly encourage that you start doing that and sharing that. And, you know, as you market your business, you market what's going on. You know, there's this fear sometimes that people will share what I'm doing. You hope they share what you're saying right now because it's got your brand on it and all of your information on it. So if you're not doing that, I want to remind you to do that as a part of everything that you're doing to bring the truth and bring the information to people. And last, as I wrap up here, I want to remind you that our summer buyer and seller guides are coming out on June 5th. Just a few weeks from now, the team has been working hard to update that with information that you can use. And so know that those are on its way. And listen, we're grateful for you spending this time listening to the monthly market report and investing a few minutes so that you can simply and effectively communicate what is happening. So we appreciate that, and we will see you next month on the monthly market report. Thanks for listening.